Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Today is a big day.
Yes, it is. Budget 2020. That's when our Deputy Prime Minister and Finance Minister Heng Swee Keat will be delivering Singapore's 2020 budget statement in Parliament. That happens later today from 3 p.m.
So for many Singaporeans, this means goodies and giveaways galore. But the annual budget goes beyond this. It is also about revising government's revenue and expenditure projections for the current financial year, as well as planning ahead for the new financial year. And all of this in a very changing influx situation.
Yeah, the idea is to ensure that Singapore's current and future needs are addressed as part of a fiscally sustainable strategic plan. But what can we expect from Budget 2020 today? Well, in the studio, we have with us Barnabas Khan, economist at United Overseas Bank. Barnabas, good morning and welcome back.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
And joining him is Ovais Sabhani, who is the Straits Times senior correspondent. Ovais, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for taking the time. I suppose, you know, you usually start off these conversations with what's different this year compared to last year. But with the current landscape, it's difficult to balance between near-term issues and long-term issues, with the near-term ones really taking center stage. Barnabas.
Well, I believe that the budget is going to be a fiscally expansionary one. And really, the fact is that the Singapore economy right now, just prior to the COVID-19 outbreak, we are actually at a very good place back in the end of 2019. Yeah, so things are actually looking north during the period of time. So I think this time around will be really interesting to see what the government can do to enhance the budget due to the COVID-19 outbreak.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Ovais?
Yeah, last year it seemed like the things would be bottoming out, and there were various green shoots that looked like electronics, for example, manufacturing, for example, looked like that things would improve. But of course, the coronavirus has changed the scenario, and that, of course, will take a lot of attention in the budget.
Ovais, as someone who is very much on top of the news flow then, what do you think is the most pertinent aspect, or what does it need to be from this Budget 2020, given everything that you're hearing and the demands from the people?
Yeah, it's the reassurance that people want. The idea is, policymakers have been telling people that the idea is to put some money back in the pockets of the people and businesses. One, that would money back into the pocket of the people, that would help domestic consumption and help sectors that are suffering the most, like retail and F&B. And giving money back to businesses would help them retain their employees, reskill them, educate them, and maybe hire more.
Yeah.
Keep that going.
According to Deputy Prime Minister Heng Swee Keat, the budget's going to include cost of living package, tax rebates, and all of this to sort of combat this COVID-19 situation. But of course, I want to get your thoughts. I mean, this is a very short-term measure. DPM Heng said yesterday that we have deep enough pockets, good enough reserves. If not, we can't do this. But how much do you shift from your original plan in this case?
Well, I think that the ongoing COVID-19 outbreak basically gave the government something new to consider for the budget. I think that more so everybody's question is how long, how prolonged, how contracted and severe, you know, the virus. And the answer to my question is no one knows. You know, so we can only look back during the SARS 2003 episode to see what the government maybe could do to actually help the Singapore economy during this time around. You know, so I think what we do look for in the budget really is more of an enhancement for the budget, you know, beyond what the long-term measures that the government could do, which is to, you know, improve competitiveness of the Singapore economy or to develop workers' capabilities. I think this will likely still be on the table, you know, but the foreign workers' levies and stuff.
But in 2003, it was 230 million as a package. China was sixth largest economy. Now China is second largest economy and we're only doubling it to 500. And I say like I have 500 million in my pocket, but is it enough, in your opinion? Can I get both of you to give your thoughts, Ovais?
But no one more than the government would know about how much is really needed to get over this situation. But yes, it would be much larger than the SARS package because, of course, the dependence on the exposure to China has increased a lot. So the impact for the ripple effect is going to be much larger. And, of course, during this period, there are businesses now that are dependent on the tourist arrivals from there, investments from there and stuff like that. So, I think the best judge for that, how much we need to get over this situation, would be the government itself.
Do you agree, Barnabas, or you have a number in your head?
Well, I am an economist, you know, so I do answer from an economic approach. I think one thing that we should see is the fact that Chinese, almost so Singapore's international tourism back in 2003, you know, and today is about 3 times bigger compared to where we saw in 2003. I think also for the fact that the GDP size in nominal terms is also 3 times larger, you know, compared to 2003. Yeah. So back then it was $230 million of package. This time around, some say it's $500, you know, so, well...
Yeah, I mean, just jumping in there on one of the big issues that's always been there, Barnabas, has been manpower. Mm. And I think the current situation has actually exacerbated that discussion a little bit because that was going to be sort of part of the long-term plan. But it's been exposed by COVID-19 how tight things are on the manpower front, right?
Well, I am pretty optimistic for the labour market prior to the COVID-19 outbreak.
Right.
Yeah, and as I mentioned just now, you know, things were looking north just in December, you know. And if you saw yesterday's numbers, more so the GDP numbers as well as employment numbers, we did see that employment growth actually expanded, you know, in 2019. We actually saw the unit cost of labour increasing from a positive growth as well. This means that wages are also increasing, you know, last year. More people employed, more people are getting paid. That was the story last year, you know. But the question is right now, from an economic perspective as well, what are the key industries that will be affected? That's where the manpower crunch or the manpower issues may come in during that period of time. First and foremost, tourism. Mm-hmm. You know, the restaurants will all get hit, especially those who actually cater to Chinese tourists. I have the privilege of stepping into one of my favourite restaurants yesterday that actually caters to Chinese tourists.
Right.
And I don't see any more flags flying around, you know, those tour group flags that's been flying around, you know. And I spoke to the boss and said, the businesses are down. You know, a good handle will be like 50% down, you know, then, you know. So that's something to actually consider, yeah.
But Ovais, as we look at, you know, manpower, and let's keep focusing on that, it's still a long-term issue, right? And so as we get sucked in by the short term, we mustn't lose focus, right, on what's out on the horizon.
Yeah, the long-term employment, of course, there is a problem right now for which the government will have to do something. But in the long term, there are structural issues. There's a large number of professional managers, engineers and technicians, which are called PEMITs, that are getting retrenched much more than any other section of employment pool, basically. And their re-entry into the jobs is also quite difficult than others. In fact, if you look at the number of vacancies to jobs, people available for job and to vacancies, that's also deteriorating, basically.
Right.
So these are long-term issues that have been there for some time now. And I think the policymakers understand them. And that's why there are several schemes in the previous years that have been put forth. And of course, some of them will be enhanced. There might be some new initiatives. So let's see.
Yeah.
Actually, talking about initiatives, you better notice, and Ovais, I'm sure you write a lot about this, sustainability from a trending to such a real everyday topic. And this is something that's going to be tackled in Budget 2020, or at least we're getting a sense of that. SMEs are asking for support, though. What do you think we can expect?
Well, SMEs have a different kind of problem, basically.
Sure.
In Singapore, they have been kind of like left behind in the sense of having the right force, the right manpower with the right skills, and having the technological empowerment, basically. So they are struggling with that a bit, that's sure. And of course, they have been hit the most by rising costs, which has been a long-term problem as well. So they will need a lot of help in that regard, basically.
Barnabas, any thoughts on this?
Well, I think the focus to help SMEs would like this to be on the table as well, given the fact that the number of SMEs outnumber the number of large corporates.
Yep.
In
fact,
the Singapore economy or the Singapore business landscape is largely dominated by SMEs, you know. So that is the priority, you know, for the budget, you know, on this.
Yeah.
I think there are lots of practical issues to discuss, right, Ryan?
Very closely watched, 3 p.m. We'll be hearing all the announcements, and we are looking out for, you know, support for workers, seniors, families, and also something I think very close to a lot of people's hearts is the rising cost of living. And this is something I've been hearing about, reading about in reports. Barnabas, maybe you can walk us through. If you look at the numbers, what does it really show you, especially when you look at the weakening Sing dollar over the past year?
Well, the weakening Sing dollar has actually not more so for the past year, but maybe more so at the start of this year. The Singapore Naira has actually weakened quite considerably from the start of the year to today, you know. But that basically means the fact that our Sing dollar is generally weaker across the baskets of currencies. And that also means that imports will also likely become more expensive. But I think more so the inflation rate for Singapore is still largely kept tame as of last year as well, you you know. So on that front, more so, if I have to answer about the cost of living perspective, inflation doesn't really come into play given the rather tame inflation, and rather the Sing dollar, although it's still somewhat weak, but it's only happened at the start of the year. Pertinent issues for the budget regarding cost of living, I think at least for the fact that more so market watchers will be looking very closely on what could be the GST support package that could be on the cards for this budget. We all know that the GST will likely be raised from 7% to 9% between 2021 to 2025, right. You know, so
that does that push back those plans? Because, you know, you have a lot of people hurting, you have companies under stress. Does that push back any potential milestones and, I guess, timelines?
What is important to note is that the Singapore government has relied generally on indirect taxes rather than direct taxes. That means that our corporate tax rates and our income tax rates are competitive across OECD standards. But in order to actually finance our day-to-day government expenditure, you know, the GST is slated to increase from 7 to 9%. To answer your question, Ryan, the government did give themselves quite ample range of dates, which is 2021 to 2025, and it's still a long way to go from 7 to 9%, so that we can see.
Obviously, what's your take on this? Are you expecting, you know, some management approach in terms of what to expect from the GST front, and are you looking out for any other tax adjustments along the way?
The GST support, like, it's the same strategy basically to how to help the weaker sections of the society, so there might be something in there. But yeah, of course, because it's going to happen next year, so it may not be in this budget, kind of like. But yes, there are a lot of things that all the way from personal income tax to corporate tax to property tax, the government can do things, basically.
Novice, another sector you're watching very closely is property. And this is something, I guess, we've been watching over the past year. We were looking at some signs of it bottoming out. And then now you have all these issues, you know, tenants facing huge headwinds. You've got landlords now looking at giving out rebates. So the picture not looking too rosy there. What's your take on where this is going for the property sector based on what you've been watching?
Well, on the residential side, there has been a jump in 2018, basically. It was almost kind of like looked like that the market is overheating, so the government came in with cooling measures, which has stabilized the market. But of course, on the retail side, there is a lot of vacant floor space that has to be filled, and that has been a problem. So, and it looked like that it's getting better there, but of course, this we'll have to see if this situation makes it further complicated or how it goes.
All right, Barnabas, you're still going out for your restaurant dinners. What are you seeing based on your reading on situation? Are you looking out for a huge boost for our property sector?
Well, I think most of the fund that is going to be targeted to help the tourism and restaurant sectors will be very interesting right now. Well, first and foremost, if you just take cues from the SARS crisis back in 2003, what we did see was actually the property rebates for commercial and, you know, hotels and also the tourism industries. And that could maybe translate into lower rental rates, at least for commercial properties during that period of time, during this time as well. But I think what we would be very interesting to see, given the fact that the government did say that deep pockets, would that be a direct cash handout to restaurants and also to people on the streets as well to actually help more so private consumption for this period of time?
Barnabas, you brought up SARS, you sort of drew relations from that. And just to go back, our Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong talked about COVID-19 and how the impact could be larger than SARS. And then yesterday also we saw Singapore downgrading its full year outlook. So then the question is, what's the risk of a technical recession? We did escape one late last year.
Well, Prime Minister...
Let me put in my disclaimers.
Well, Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong did say that a recession is possible.
Yeah.
You know, and with the downgrade of minus 0.5 to a positive 1.5, if we do see the other end of the spectrum, it means that Singapore could contract by as much as 0.5% in 2020. And if that comes to pass, not only a recession will be seen, but a technical recession, more so two consecutive quarters of negative Q-on-Q growth. More so our bank's model, if we do assume a 0.5% growth in 2020, we are already edging on the line of a technical recession, at least in the first half of this year. Right. So, well, let's hope things turn
hope
off.
For the best.
Well, the Deputy Prime Minister and Finance Minister has used words, Barnabas, like no fear. So having no fear about what can be done to mitigate against current challenges. But how is Singapore's fiscal position right now? And does Singapore have the firepower to surmount what's coming?
The Singapore budget or more so the Singapore fiscal position is very healthy. You know, and this year, fiscal year 2020, is the last year of the five-year cycle. Basically means that after this year, all the surpluses that we have seen over the last 5 years will be injected in the budget, into the reserves, if any. You know, looking at the last 4 years of budgets, and if the estimates from the government comes to pass, we are actually seeing $15.6 billion worth of surplus in the last 4 years. How big is 15.6? During the 2009 financial crisis, the government did push out a resilient package of 20.5 billion, you know, worth of package, and 15.6. I know we are about 3/4, also 3/5 of the 20.5 budget. It's a huge surplus, you know, and that means that the government does have firepower to roll out a very generous fiscal stimulus package if needed to combat this downturn.
Aves, briefly, we can't ignore the fact that it's an election year. And, you know, you're in a position where you have the firepower, you've got to mitigate against challenges. It's a very important budget, right?
Yep. Yeah, of course, exactly. So the government has to mitigate the situation that's at hand. There are long-term structural issues and long-term growth issues that have to be handled. Of course, that the focus will also be there. But of course, there's a bit of responsibility here as well, how to spend that money. In the long run, you have to maintain a responsible spending plan, rather than just spend whatever you have, kind of like, and get a big boost in the immediate run, but in the long run, pass that burden on to future generations.
We've been speaking with Barnabas Gunn, economist at United Overseas Bank, as well as Aves Sabhani, who is the Straits Times senior correspondent. Gentlemen, thank you for helping us out with our Budget 2020 preview.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SBH Radio app, available on Google Play or the App Store.